Aviva, thank you so much for joining me today on Misunderstood. It is so fun to see you. You look amazing, and I just love seeing you smiling, and I'm just really happy that you're here.
I'm so happy to see you too. We go back.
I know, we really do. So what people don't realize is that I think we originally met in New York City because our daughters went to school together. Your daughter's a year above mine, and I think they had some sort of after school thing together. I can't even really remember. But that's when I first remember meeting you was through school. I mean, obviously through Harry, but through school.
Yeah. I think the first time was through school. And then the next time was through Harry.
Right. Okay. Obviously. So we have that connection, which we'll get to later. It's been quite a week in the world of the housewives. So I just kind of want to talk about that for a second so we can move on from that conversation. Obviously, one of the top stories in pop culture this week, obviously a lot of other shit was going on, but Jill Zarin has been all over the news. She's someone that you and I both know very well. So I think we need to like address it for a second for people who don't know, who have been living under a rock. She made some comments during the halftime show about Bad Bunny, and viewers quickly, she got very swift backlash. Viewers called her tone deaf, ignorant, racist, all sorts of things. And very quickly, she was fired by the E! Company, Blink 49, who was putting on the reunion show called The Golden Life. So where do you stand with all of this? I mean, it's really hard because we know her as a person, and a lot of people don't know her as a person. So, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, I think it's, I the whole thing has just sort of rocked my world, to be honest. I know Jill since 2011. And she's been coming to me for a couple of years to do different kinds of shows, and none of them really came to fruition. And she came to me for this one. It's really this show, this reboot in Florida, is really like she created this show with a producer, and she brought the girls together. And so just watching the whole thing happen so fast, like one minute she's getting the girls together and she's putting a fun show together, the Golden Girls sort of remake, if you will, where we are now. And the next minute, she's announcing, this great new show. And then the next minute she's fired from the show and she's, headline news.
Yeah.
So that was just shocking to start with that. Mm. Personally, I sort of felt a little involved because she had been calling me about this show since last spring. And then she called me again with a producer in November. And I was, the follow through didn't happen. I'm always like the redheaded stepchild for some reason in housewife land, but I'm okay with that. And then she spoke very, very out of turn. And then the next thing, she was fired. So what do I think about it? Well, I was thinking about doing the show. I hadn't gotten far enough in the process to, commit or not commit, but I would never think about doing a show with somebody who I thought was racist.
Right.
And I've known Jill since 2011, since I joined Housewives. Even though we didn't work together, we became friendly and right away. And I have never seen Jill. I've never thought of Jill to be racist. And that was really the thing that stung, that was just the most awful about her tirade,
right,
was, that comment about how there were no white people in the show. And that was just the kicker. And I think it was just a completely stupid comment. I don't think it came from like a hateful place. I think it was completely stupid. It came off as completely racist, but I don't think she's racist. And I understand what had to be done. I'm sure that, sponsors were calling in and concerned. There was a lot of online, hate and fallout. But I think it made me sort of sit back and think to myself, okay, well, this is a cautionary tale. Keep your mouth shut. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. And personally, I loved the show. I thought it was really fun. I thought it was a nice, I thought it was a great show. But that doesn't matter. You can love the show, you can hate the show. But you just can't say racist things against anybody. There's a no tolerance for that, for certainly by me and by anybody. And I think that, it's a good thing that people won't tolerate racism. It should be equal across the board. There shouldn't be racism against anyone's, religion, race, or anything. I always taught my kids that skin color is the same thing as hair color and eye color. And just like, you don't treat someone differently because they have brown eyes or blue eyes or blonde hair or brown hair. You don't do the same thing for skin color. And what's happened historically is, terrible, terrible. And we have a responsibility today to be extra sensitive to fix that. And in that way, it was a stupid thing to say.
So
It was just that was
I
stupid.
think you couldn't have said it any better. I don't think anyone's actually said it as eloquently as you. I agree with 100% with what you said. I couldn't even repeat how I feel because it is so hard in your head to make sense of it. And you made sense of it really well. It's hard as
Thanks.
someone who's known her that I've never seen that side of her. And so it was hard to watch that and hear it and see the fallout, knowing that I don't think it came out of a place of really being, thinking that. I think it just the wording was terrible. It was stupid to say. And the fallout has been something that I've taken it really personally because a similar situation happened to me, right? Where the whole world turned on me. So I know that feeling. So I've been dealing with Jill and the aftermath, and I think maybe you've been in touch with her or you tried to, I know, but it's been very difficult as imagine anyone. I mean, let's put aside the fact that now she lost a job that you, correct. She's been working on this for ages, right? She has been trying to get back on TV. And as we both know, she's the one that came up with this idea, brought it to Blink 49, got them to work on it. She picked the cast. You were, someone she was talking to. She was also talking to me. I spoke to the same producers with her a couple months ago, and she was talking to me about being on the cast because they weren't going to be all housewives. It was going to be some housewives and some not originally. And obviously, it didn't turn out that way. So I've seen it from the beginning, and she was so into it. And, it's a cautionary tale, and people are just things that you say. You got to be very careful, no matter what your platform, but there's no tolerance for racist remarks. And as that should be the case, right? So, I do worry about her, but I have been in touch with her. I see these articles, and it really is everywhere. And I do feel like it's a lot of it is herd mentality because you've heard a lot of people in the news also saying very similar comments, which were just as bad, like Megyn Kelly, or there have been some other people. But I think the herd mentality has really jumped on this. And as someone in that seat, that is really mentally, it really makes you mentally unstable. Like I wanted to check on her to make sure like she was okay and not jumping off a bridge, because you can't eat, you can't sleep, you don't know when it will end. You don't know if you should apologize or not, or say something, or you don't even really have time to reflect and react because so much is coming at you and your own friends are turning on you. And if they're not turning on you, they just don't want to talk to you. They've disappeared because they think you're a bad look and they don't want to be seen. And I think what happened was really interesting because the production company, fired her so quickly, but I think they really quickly realized she's bad for business, right? I mean, this kind of a show, is based on people wanting to come and watch. And they, and again, we all know in Housewives, they love the toxic relationships and they love all that, but they're not going to come and watch if it's something that really is affecting them, that they're personally triggered by, like racism or, you know, any of these comments. So I think that's why it happened so quickly and swiftly. And you know, that's just my thought on that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, it's really interesting because I think that the world, America, has become one giant reality show. So I remember, you know, when I started out doing reality television, you know, this show, Roni, or all of the Housewife shows, they thrive on aspirational stories and lifestyle. They thrive on, you know, they love rags to riches stories and comeback stories. But the biggest part is the drama.
Yeah.
So when I started the show and there were two girls arguing and I just started, I think it was Heather and Ramon. I remember the producer came to me and said, you know, pick a side, because they want everybody involved in the drama. And since the beginning of time, people really are drawn to conflict. And that's why people love, you know, they watch it and they love to watch the housewives and they like to, you know, the girls will be arguing and then everybody picks a side and, you know, and then the audience then picks a side.
Yeah, right.
And everybody loves to, you know, hurl at the opposing side that they're not on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this country is like that. Like, the politicians and the red and the blue has become these two conflicted sides where people love to join a team.
Right.
And people love to attack everybody else on the other team.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's just Bethany, you know, sort of ranted yesterday about this whole problem.
Yeah.
And
how it's black or white and there's no in the middle and there's a lack of conversation. And she made a good point. I mean, if I say something dumb, you say something dumb, it's like, I would rather somebody say, hey, that's dumb. Let me explain why. And like learn from it. And it's my issue if I don't learn from it. Right. And yours and whoever's. But there's never the conversation anymore of this is what I believe. And this is why I think what you said was wrong. It's just like, this person is awful. Or, you know, or they're great and there's no in the middle and you have to pick a side. And it's really become absolutely terrible. It's ruined personal friendships and then it's ruining people's lives in a bigger scale because the media takes a hold of that narrative.
Completely. And it's like, I'm like afraid to say things. Like, yeah. I feel like I don't want anybody to know what my politics is about.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
That's ridiculous. Especially because I'm not MAGA and I'm also not woke, you know, I basically go back and forth all day long between Fox and CNN. And I like to get all different perspectives on everything. And there's different issues where I feel different opinions on different outcomes and different ways to handle them.
Right.
And it's just it's the black and white worldview that everybody has and the piling on and the, oh, you're MAGA, you're woke. And I hate you. It's just insane. Isn't that as bad as racism?
I agree.
Isn't not liking someone because of their skin color, you know, I don't know, up there with not liking someone because of what they believe in?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just as ignorant and it's
religion.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's terrible. It's so divisive and it's made this country really hard to function in. I mean, I think you and I are similar. We're like recluses a little bit. Like, you know, I have my little world and it's a lot of because of, you know, what I went through maybe, and I'll ask you in a bit, but like if it's because of what you went through being on the show, but a lot of it is because that external stuff and people thinking they know you and commenting on anything you say or wear or how you look when you're in public became a lot for me. So I like to interact with people that I know. And then, you know, at our age, I don't really bring new people in my world, you know, it's really hard. Yeah. And you're right. I go back and forth. I'm in the middle, but I also know what I think is right and wrong in terms of how people are treated. I don't like when people are, you know, made fun of, or, you know, a lot of on both sides, there's a lot of that. And it's, I don't want that toxic arguing anymore. I mean, I feel like we grew up in that. That was like normal to see a lot. And especially you with the show you were on, but like, that's not what I want in my life. I don't want arguments all the time. It gives me so much anxiety.
There is a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5 where purpose and grit and the American spirit come together in the Peace Corps. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you. And the love part is knowing your hard work can transform lives and build bridges across cultures. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve. That's peacecorps.gov/serve.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's really terrible. And again, I think that our society has just become one big reality show with everyone thriving on conflict and hating on people who are different.
Yeah.
I mean, hating on people who have a different point of view, what is that? You know?
Yeah.
It's so exaggerated. It's just toxic. It's really toxic, and there's no room for, there's very little room for conversation. And I think part of it is the press, because there isn't really any news anymore. There's only opinion channels.
Yeah.
CNN is blue and Fox 5 is red. And they, it's like, if you watch one, you know, you could long enough, you'll really dislike the other side.
Right.
And vice versa.
Right.
And I just think it's very toxic.
And they're showing the most toxic clips that they choose, right? So you can look at one and be horrified at what you're looking at, and you can look at another and be just as horrified. So unless you're somebody who knows that and knows to think down the middle and, you know, and really look at the facts, like, you get swayed one way or the other.
You know, yeah. And I was at, I was living in a blue state, New York, for my whole life. And then I moved to a red state. Mm. And, you know, I think that intelligent people are people who have open minds. I don't think intelligent people are the ones who have the best schooling or who are so street smart or are quick-witted. I mean, all of those things are intelligence, but the most intelligent people, in my opinion, are the ones with open hearts and open minds. And when I came to Florida, to Miami, I thought, well, we guess we're going to the cowboy land. And the one thing I did was I listened to people. I have friends and family members who I don't agree with. My own father, I often don't agree with. And I have good friends that I don't agree with them on everything. And I listened, and I do really understand different points of view now. I really understand, you know, and I don't think there's always solutions, you know. I think it's, you know, terrible to go around and kick people out of this country who've been here and separate people from their families. I think it's horrible. And I also think it's horrible that there are people here who are criminals and who are bringing drugs into our country. And, you know, I'm not like picking a side and hating one. It's like, what can we do to make this better for everybody?
Right.
Right. Like what can we do to make it right? I don't think anybody wants, you know, drugs in our country and killing our people. And I don't think anybody wants, you know, people who are in this country, you know, hardworking people to be thrown out and separated from their families. I mean, it's heartbreaking, all of it.
It really
so
is.
Anyway.
And no, I agree with you. And, you know, speaking of intelligence, just listening to you speak, I forgot how smart you are. This is why you need to be back on television and you need to be seen again, because people really don't realize, like, you're really in tune with everything and very well spoken. I mean, I really didn't know. So let's go back to a little lighter topic. Let's go back to the Golden Life. So as you said, you thought you might be part of it. And then I guess it got announced. And were you kind of like taken off guard? Like, wait, what happened?
I was. I think that, you know, in typical housewife family, in typical housewife fashion, you know, all the girls, like no one gave me like a real heads up. I was like talking to people. And then, and I was like, you know, I spoke to this, the producer, and for like an hour and a half on the phone about what was going on. And, you know, to be honest, it wasn't like, I wasn't just like, oh, I'm going to do this. I was, you know, I don't really think about whether I'm going to do something like this until I have a contract in my hand.
Of course. Yeah.
Because I've learned that you just, there's no reason. And so I was just like talking to the producer for an hour and a half, and I spoke to Jill, and I was asked to see if I could film in my building and in, you know, and on, you know, and because I live on the beach. And so I was sort of seeing, can I film on the beach and can we film here? And I was just sort of like, you know, getting the temperature of what was the situation here. And then the next thing I know, it's on the news that this show is starting. And I was like, well, gee, I couldn't somebody have given me a little heads up, you know, like, hey, we decided to go with the OGs or with the girls who have, you know, bigger followers accounts or whatever. But,
right.
You know, I'm so used, again, like I said, I'm very used to being the redheaded stepchild in reality television. And I'm very comfortable there.
That's really funny.
I'm okay.
Wait,
you know, it's more upsetting when my teen daughter is like screaming at me.
Yes, obviously. So what are your thoughts on the show in general? Like, do you think it will do well? Did they tell you much about like the storyline? Because for me, all I heard is, you know, that they're, you know, we obviously know three of the cast, I think, already live here. Three now, I think, are going to rent down here, and it's just going to be about them lunching or something. Like, what do you think about the storyline?
I think that those girls are all really, are really fun and great, and they have, you know, a fan base already. So I can't see how it wouldn't do well. And seeing them older now and sort of retired in Florida, I think it could be a really adorable, funny, fun show. And that actually was the appeal to me. And that was what was sort of pitched to me, that they were going to make it funny and not mean and not cutthroat. And I liked that aspect of it. That I was drawn to.
Do you think this group of women can get away with not being cutthroat to each other, though?
I think you can, but you need to have a lot of humor.
Yeah.
And you need to have other aspirational stories in there. I think that typically Housewives has just too much drama, but it's not the drama that producers want. What happens is it's like you're like gladiators with tits in this arena, okay? And you're all trying to sort of create the drama, and sometimes you get blindsided. And what happens is sometimes you hurt people and you don't mean to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for example, I'll give you a great example. When I was filming my second season, I had a scene where I was making up with Ramona with a fight, and then we were talking and nobody really had any storylines, and storylines are really important for these shows. And I was like talking to her, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, and Carol's being such a bitch. Like, I don't understand. And we were off camera, and she was like, really, what happened? And I was like, oh, about the book and this and that. And she said, and I was like, I don't understand why she's being so, you know, so like uppity about the book. She had a book, right? She had a ghostwriter and all this stuff. And then Ramona was like, you need to bring this on air. This is great storyline. You have to bring it on air. And I was like, okay. And I wasn't really that close with Carol at that point. She had distanced herself from me for stupid reasons. But anyway, and she's like, get her bring in the storyline. So I was like, okay. But the point is that I had no idea that by saying that I heard that she had a ghostwriter would be so upsetting to her. Like, I thought she would just say like, no, I didn't have a ghostwriter. Like, you know, right. Who told you that? And maybe we, you know, duke it out for, you know, a little bit. And then she would say, I didn't. I say, okay, I believe you, and we're done.
Right.
But it ended up being this big thing because she was really, really crushed by it and really upset. And then she wouldn't even speak to me. And the whole thing blew up. And, you know, it gets egged on by production. And I just think that, like, I think I played really dirty, but I didn't really mean to. And then she played dirty. And then she, like, attacked my husband in blogs and stuff. And it got, like, very
But did it
dirty. And
end
I could
up, did it
see,
end up that it was found out she did have a ghostwriter?
you know, to the best of my knowledge, yes. And I was accused left, right, and center about, you know, making it up and lying. I don't lie. And I definitely heard that from my publisher at the time. And I would never just make something up, you know, but like who cares?
Right.
Anyway,
She
who
could have
cares? He's
handled
doing, who
it
cares?
differently
Who
also. Yeah.
cares? And it just became very ugly. And the point is that that's how the show gets really ugly, is that there's like a lack of communication. People sort of get divided, and then everyone tries to conquer. And then you just have politics, which is the conflict of one girl versus another, or, you know, team girl A versus team girl B.
Right.
And then you have the audience, the fans, you know, weighing in and attacking the side that they don't like, or, you know, and it's toxic. It's like politics.
Yeah, for
It's
sure.
just the same. It's the same thing. And everyone loves it because it's like, you know, it's conflict and people love conflict.
So I'd love for you to give the listeners some juice because you know all these girls. So let's go through this cast for a second. Just give us your two cents on whatever the first thing that comes to mind, like how they'll do or how you think they'll be this season or whatever. So let's start with Sonia.
I think that Sonia is TV gold. I think she, as a person, she couldn't hurt a fly. She's such a nice person. She's funny. She's well-meaning. And I think that she's always reality gold. She could carry the show easily
Amazing.
with her eyes closed.
Okay, Ramona.
Ramona is just, you never know what you're going to get with Ramona. She's like a box of chocolates, and she's very moody. And I think it's like, you know, it's like I think the audience has like a love hate with her, and sometimes it's like watching a car crash, and sometimes, you know, she can be endearing, you know.
Right, but people do like to watch it. Okay, Kelly.
Just so beautiful and cool and chic. And I think before The Housewives, I think I saw a picture of Kelly carrying a Birkin bag, and I think that's when I fell in love with a Birkin bag. It's like her and Ella McPherson both had the Birkin, and I
Yeah.
was like, oh my God, I have to have one of those. I mean,
Yeah.
she's just chic and
She's
she's
always been
beautiful.
chic for sure. Do you think she'll do well this season? Like, do you think she'll do well on the show? Because I know she's a little quirky, right? I mean, she kind of stands out in a
Yeah.
different way.
Well, I've never worked with Kelly, but you know, you need a balance too. So if you have like strong Ramona and kooky Sonia, you know, maybe just a lighthearted, you know, quirky Kelly is perfect.
That's
And that whole scary island with her is like, you know, these has, there's nothing real about that about her either. She's a lovely, lovely person. She's normal, sweet.
right. Okay, Luann.
Luann, I knew before the show ever. She's Luann's great. She's just, you know, she's a str another strong personality. She's cool. She's nice. She's level-headed. You know, she'll do great. I mean, these are all great people for a show.
Yeah. Luann, by the way, I think is one of the ones who's aged really well. Like, we know some of them have, you know, done some enhancements. I think Ramona and Sonia
Yeah.
have been vocal about the fact they got facelifts which look
Yeah.
really good. I mean, I've seen them both in person. They look great. Luann, I don't ever think I've met in person, but all I can say is on screen, she looks fantastic. Like, she's a really beautiful woman.
She looks even better in person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, when I met her before the show, ever, like in, you know, 2008, 2009, she was just beautiful.
Yeah, and
Beautiful.
tall and like
Yeah.
glamorous. Okay, now Dorinda, it's been said that she's just been announced she's joining the cast. People are saying it's to replace Jill. I heard she was joining the cast before this whole thing. Did you?
Yeah, she was already signed
Yeah.
before the whole Jill fiasco. And I think she's obviously, I never worked with Dorinda. I had dinner with her once. I think she's super sweet. I think she looks like Princess Diana
Yeah.
with a little more edge to her. I think she's really fun and really great TV. And she has really soft skin, I'll tell you
Yeah.
that. But I think they're great. And that's the thing, the two things that I was drawn to. I was like, okay, when they came to me, I was like, okay, I like these girls. I like these girls, and I would be the only one that's married, but I'm on the
Oh,
show.
right.
But yeah. And I'm also have kids at home.
Right.
Nobody else has kids at home. But so I thought that could be different. That would add something different to the show, that I do have kids at home and I am married. And I like those girls. I don't know Bethany very well at all. We could talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
And I also, I don't know if Carol and I could work together after all that bad blood. I don't know.
Yeah.
But these girls, I adore them all. We share a bond, having done the show together. And I thought, okay, like this is like the door wasn't, I wasn't slamming the door
Yeah.
in this one. And I'm in Florida. I live here full time.
Right, for real. It's not like you're coming down here
For
for
real,
the
like
show.
they all have they like they're all here part time. Some of them are just gonna come and film. I moved here completely from New York with
Yeah.
my family.
So, what are your thoughts? Well, first of all, have you talked to any of these girls since it was announced?
I
Okay.
have.
And so are they like, we need you, we want you on, we want you to come to our
Yes.
events?
One person,
Yeah.
yes. It was, we need housewives, we need you,
Right.
we love you. And then, there are budgets to think about and dynamics, and at the end of the day, it's up to production. Bethany made a post. I think Bethany's really bright. And unfiltered, as we all know.
Yeah.
And she did say something that she said two things about this show that I could not have agreed with more. One was that she has to protect her peace. And I feel the same way. I live on the water with my family. I cook a lot of meals. I have dogs. I help people who, are newly amputees and all of that. Fills my heart with everything that I need. And so that's like the biggest thing. Would doing a show like this, disrupt my peace? And especially if it's going to be one of these, cutthroat, crazy
And
shows
also, but
again.
you've been open about suffering from anxiety, right? I mean, that goes with what you're saying. I mean, could it disrupt your peace, bring up this anxiety? Have you found that being off TV has helped with the anxiety? I mean, people still know you just as much. I mean, that fame, that Bravo fame never goes away.
It's not the being on TV or being with the girls that really makes me feel anxious. Maybe that exacerbates my anxiety, but that's not really it. It's more about just like, I mean, that's part of it. I guess I take that back. It is part of it. It's like disrupting my peace. It's like, is the whole stress of filming and the dynamics of the drama, and you walk a very tight rope between keeping the friendships alive and keeping the drama alive and keeping production happy and making sure that you can look in the mirror at the end of the day and all that. And that juggle could exacerbate someone's anxiety. I think it exacerbates everybody's anxiety. And then there's the audience, the fans who love you or hate you or both. And you have to have very thick skin to do this show. I do have pretty thick skin, and if I didn't, I got it from doing the show. And so I just have to think about protecting my peace. Again, I didn't get so far. I didn't get far enough down doing this show to really think about it seriously. But that I really understood what Bethany was saying about protecting her peace. And she also lives in Florida with her daughter, actually. And her daughter is a similar age to mine. And I totally get that. And I have to also, my kids are teens now. One of them is an adult, two of them are teens. Well, Harrison. And it's like, it's when they're children, it doesn't really matter. But when they're teens and they don't like the way you breathe, everything matters. So it's just a
Totally.
lot to think about. And the other thing that Bethany said that I thought was really, really smart was that she would never go on as a friend. Now, I'm not Bethany. I don't pretend to be. She's up here and I'm down here in the housewife land. And, you know, she said that she wouldn't want to go on because as a friend, because they pay you $5 and then they just use your footage
Right.
as they
Yeah, they
want. Like
use
they've
your
used my.
likeness and just wear the shit out of it for free, and everyone comes to watch for that snippet of time as a friend of.
Right. I mean,
Yeah.
like they've milked my leg throw, my leg toss, like, you know, for 10 years.
Right.
And I never got any residuals or anything for that. And so it's like the same thing. It's like I don't really see myself going on as a friend and, you know, for $5. Like,
Right.
that's just
Unless it
not,
works for you, unless there's the tr a trade-off.
unless there was something I could leverage out of it. Yes.
Right.
And, you know, I'm, you know, I don't see that right now. And Reed was like, you know, because we do get invited to parties and stuff where, you know, we're not big partiers, but he's like, well, we better make sure if we go to someone's party that we're not being mic'd up. I'm like, yeah, we better. You're right. We have to make sure we better make sure we're not being mic'd up.
Yeah, so funny.
You know, so you know, that's basically the whole story about, you know, the show and Beth, we could talk about Bethany.
Okay, let's talk about Bethany. So you guys never overlapped on the show.
No, but she no, but Bethany definitely had a part in getting me on the show to start.
Oh,
I
well, I
think
was
it's
going to
important.
ask you, how did you get cast? What if I told you that the idea that you only get parasites when you travel to some exotic country is flat wrong? Millions of Americans carry parasites right now, often without symptoms. For example, it's estimated that millions in the United States have been exposed to Toxocara, a parasitic worm, yet most never even know it. Parasites do not need a plane ticket. They can enter through tap water, sushi, undercooked foods, or contaminated produce. Some strains live in all stages: eggs, larvae, adults, hidden in your gut, releasing toxins that sabotage your energy and digestion. That's why I'm excited about Parify, Kim Rogers' 30-day full-spectrum parasite cleanse. The kit works by clearing parasites, worms, candida, and heavy metals, targeting parasites in all life stages, supporting gut health, detox pathways, and toxin removal. It's taken orally, daily for 30 days with precise dosing. I'm actually doing it myself right now. I started with the lymph cleanse, then I'm doing the Parify. Want to dive deep? I did a full interview with Kim Rogers, the worm queen herself, where we expose all the myths, understand the facts, and show how to protect your body. Listen to that episode if you haven't already. Meanwhile, go to rogershood.com and use the code Rachel to get 10% off of your order. That's RACHEL for 10% off. Give it a try. Maybe your body's missing link is hiding inside. Let's do this together. Again, it's rogershood.com, RogersHood. And use the code Rachel for 10% off. If you've ever been through a divorce or you're in one right now, you already know it's not just emotional, it's chaotic. It's paperwork, deadlines, financial disclosures, custody schedules, legal filings, and half the time you don't even know what you're supposed to be tracking until it's too late. That's why I want to tell you about Splitify. It's an AI-powered divorce operating system designed to turn divorce from drama into data while saving you time and money. Splitify helps you organize all of your documents, evidence, custody details, communication, finances, everything into one secure platform. It can even help flag high conflict behavior, track custody schedules, map assets and debts, and generate court-ready files so you're not walking into a legal battle completely unprepared. Whether you're working with an attorney, going through a mediation, or doing it on your own, Splitify helps you stay organized, informed, and strategic because divorce is expensive enough without wasting time and money on confusion. So if you want to protect yourself, protect your kids, and walk into this process with clarity and control, go to mysplitify.com. Use the code Rachel for 50% off your first 3 months. That's mysplitify, mysplitify.com, promo code Rachel.
Bethany and I have a mutual friend, and his name is Jake Spitz.
Oh, I know Jake.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've known Jake for 30 years.
Okay. Yeah. I grew up with him. We went to Ethel Culture and Fieldston together.
Oh my gosh. And I went to Nightingale. So that's how I knew him.
I didn't know you
because,
went to Nightingale.
Because he was best friends with my boyfriend that I had when I was 13, Jason Strauss, who then I dated again in my 20s and later in my 30s. And Jake would come when we lived in Vegas because Jason opened up Tao. So
wow,
I've known him forever.
You and I really have a long history of overlapping.
I know, very funny, but sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's how Jake came to me, you know, years ago and said, will you interview for the show? And I was like, definitely not. Those women are crazy. And he's like, I want them to know. Was that my husband?
That's fine. How many years though was the show out before you even talked to them?
I think 3 or 4.
And it was a huge hit, right? It was a huge hit at the beginning. I mean, it's a long time ago. I kind of forget.
Yeah, it was. It was a huge hit. And they wanted to change up the cast. So they let go of Jill, Alex, and Kelly, and they hired me, Carol, and Heather.
Got it. Right.
But Bethany was like, you gotta hire this girl, you know, she's got one leg, blah, 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 whatever. Like, it was just, you know, Bethany is the, and that was it. The only, you know, I don't really know Bethany well at all. Like, she credits herself with getting me the show. And she, one sort of attacked me on Twitter or something. She attacked me because she was on the show, like her second round again. And they, and I was just doing an interview and they asked me about like the alcohol and the toxicity and all that. And I, again, I don't lie. And I said the truth, which is that I was asked to do a scene with Ramona, my second season, and we were supposed to make up. And the producer asked me to do a shot with Ramona. And I asked them if they could please fill the shot with water because I didn't want to drink alcohol that night at all. And I was also taking on some antibiotics. And he said, no, you have to take a real shot. And I did feel like very pressured and very weird. But anyway, that's not the story. The story is that at the time, Bethany was on the show and she sort of attacked me on social media. And she said, you know, I take offense to this. You know, it's not true. I've never seen that. And only a few years later, she did have like some sort of reality reckoning where she was saying the inverse was true. So
right.
And brought
all these reality people with her to come down on Andy Cohen and all the production about
right.
the fact that they were abused or whatever with being made to drink and act out.
Right, right, right. And I, you know, listen, I can only tell you my experience with, you know, that one producer and that one scene. I always said there's alcohol around, but the girls also, a lot of the girls really love to drink a lot. So, you know, I don't know if it's the girls or the production, what came first, chicken or the egg. But besides that one incident where she sort of attacked me and accused me of lying on social media, I agree with what she said about protecting her peace. I agree with what Bethany said about not going on as a friend and protecting your own business, whatever, as small or as big as that is. I mean, she's, you know, she's an incredible, incredible marketing genius. Bethany, and she's just this incredible fusion of authenticity and marketing and she's fast, you know, she's like really fast. So it's like, you know, where everything's so fast today, you don't
Yeah, she's not scared of anything. She doesn't filter herself. Like last night, she's getting out of the shower and she's going with the, you know, telling her version of something. And, you know, I think some people it rubs them the wrong way, but you know, this is her and she is authentic and you've got it, whether or not you kind of like it or you don't, she's authentic and that says a lot.
I actually loved her shower post. I thought it was great. I thought it was really great. I thought it was spot on. She said, you know, she was just unafraid and confident and like, you know, because there had been this backlash about also she posted a video and then she took it down and then she posted another video. She changed it. Her point about, you know, saying things wrong or saying things out of turn, making mistakes, saying things you may not mean, saying things that are off color. And for God's sakes, you know, let's stop killing each other. Let's bring each other up. Let's help each other out instead of like, gotcha, And when you asked me to come on this show, I really appreciated that you were like, listen, there's no gotcha moment here. And, in this climate, I really appreciated that. I really trusted you. And I also think you're super smart and super kind and generous. And, it's like, let's like lift each other up. We're all on the same team here. We're on this team called life,
Yeah.
and we're all on this team called America. So we can either bring each other up or we can come together. And I don't, I'm not that well versed in politics. I'm not that well versed in a lot of things, but I certainly fall into different opinions on different things.
Let's talk a little bit more about you being on the show. So did you find that it was easy for you to get cast, or you had to go through a number of different trials with them?
No, I was cast. I mean, I was interviewed once and I was 9 months pregnant with my daughter and I absolutely did not want to do the show. I just was like, not interested in nursing on camera. And then the next year they came to me, they handed me a contract.
Now, let me ask you, how did Harry come into the whole thing? Because listen, I gotta tell you, as we both know, but Harry also lives down in Palm Beach. And, I've also had a long friendship with Harry. And I go to dinner with Harry, or I'm out with Harry, or even walk by Harry. Harry is the biggest star of all the Bravo people, I feel like, to this day. I mean, you can't walk 2 feet without somebody pushing me out of the way or throwing me a phone to take a picture of them together. Do you know what I mean?
Really?
Yes, it's insane. It's
I
really
didn't
insane.
know that.
Yeah.
That's
He and then
hysterical.
people will say, "Oh my God, you remember the episode? Here." And Harry, he's so funny because he'll be like, "Oh, ha ha, yeah." And when they walk away, he'll be like, "I have no idea what they were talking about. I don't remember that scene at all," So, but it's funny. He's very beloved. And he was a big part of the show. So did he come on after you, with you? What happened there?
Production loved the fact that all the girls, had a connection to Harry. I was married to Harry and, we have a son together who's now 24. And all some of the girls were friends with Harry, some of the girls had slept with Harry, so they ate it all up. He came on, gosh, he came on. Was he on when I was there? I think he was on when I was on. And then he came on a lot more when I was off, I
Okay, so
think.
he remained after you.
Yes,
Got it.
yes,
Okay,
yes.
so it wasn't that you brought him on and then he had these relationships. These were relationships he already had, and it was just coincidence. So he became part of the cast, kind of. I mean, a friend of, whatever you call
Yes, because Harry has relationships with all the women in New York
it. Oh
City
my
and
God.
now Palm Beach.
Right. Well, that is true. Congratulations, Harry. But you gotta love him. I mean, they still talk about him. I'm sure he will probably be in some scenes from this new show, wouldn't you think?
I would definitely think he's going to be on the show. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think that would be really cool. Oh, I think I filmed a scene with Harry and our son and Harrison, I think way back then. I don't remember. I don't know if it aired. I don't know if it got on the cutting room floor. I don't remember. But I love Harry. Harry like is always the nicest person in any room that you walk into. And I just love him. Reed considers Harry his brother. I think Harry and Reed speak more often than I speak to Harry. And it's really funny in this whole like merging family situation because like sometimes Harry can't reach Harrison, sometimes Harry can't reach me. So he always calls Reed and Reed always is available to talk to Harry. And like there are times where like, Harry and I are not as good as parents as Reed. So Harry and I have gone to Reed over the years and been like, what do we do?
Oh my God, that's great. Well, Reed is such a great, stable human being. So that's
Beyond.
an obvious person to go to. But that is so funny. And I love hearing that you and Harry are on good terms.
Oh, completely. Like Harry came over here around Christmas time with a girlfriend and that was we had a good time.
Oh, good. Okay, so you mentioned before the scene where you threw your leg. Let's talk
Yeah.
about that because it was an iconic scene. Was that planned? Because I will tell you, I just watched it again today to remind myself. And it looked like a very quick, I don't know if how that, you just quickly said, you know, I'm as real, or this is the only fake thing on me, and threw it on the table. It was fantastic. But had you planned that?
I did plan it. I mean, I couldn't plan it 100%, but production, the girls had all gone to Montana. I didn't go, and they came back, and production was like, Aviva, Montana was so boring. They were like, it was so boring. And I was like, oh no. And then they were like telling me that the girls are really mad that I didn't go. And I was like, okay. And I was like, what can we do? They were like asking me to create, you know, to make something, you know, fun because the season was so boring. So I sat with some of the members of production. And I was like, okay, let's make sure there's a tablecloth on the table. And I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but if they start to come at me, then maybe I'll take off my leg and make a big splash, you know, about that. And I'll, you know, try to get, you know, revved up.
So did the argument that Heather started, was that real? Like, was that her real emotion, or was she like egging you on, or what was it? Cause wasn't it Heather you were fighting with?
I think so. She probably was fighting with me, but you know, I think she was like, you know, mad that I didn't go on the trip. I think that was about it. Or that I was lying about my health or something. Just, you know, if you step away for a second, okay. If you have a group of friends and one person's not feeling well and they can't go on the trip, what other friends say to that person, you're a liar, you don't really feel well? They'd be like, oh my God, feel better. You know, we'll bring you back like pictures and we'll bring you back something from the gift shop. You know, no one's like, you're lying, like the you're lying. And you know, that's all production. That's all, let's make some drama. So Heather definitely wasn't really mad at me. She was also being prodded by production. I spoke to Heather actually last night. I love her. She's a sweetheart. I mean, she's just amazing. She gave me some really good tips about menopause too. So that was really helpful.
Oh, well, you'll have to tell me too. Both of us, we were texting each other. I got your text at like 2:30 in the middle of the night. I text you at like 4:30. But by the way, I had read yours because I was also up and I was like, let me think. Fell back asleep, wrote you at 4:30. I mean, it's terrible, but that's a whole nother episode.
Do you mind me asking, how old are you?
51.
Okay. You know what? Enjoy it, because every year it just is worse and worse and worse. Like,
great.
I'm 55.
Oh my God. Well,
so that was, yeah, the leg scene was planned. It was planned to, you know, make a splash and make entertainment. And, I like to entertain people at my own expense. Like, I have no problem making fun of myself. I don't take myself too seriously. And that to me wasn't like such a big deal. When, as soon as it was done and the cameras went down, we were all like, some of the people at the party were applauding and, you know, Heather and I were laughing and it was just really funny and fun. And anybody knows me knows that I don't whip off my leg and throw it across the table.
Okay. I would hope not, but that's interesting. Cause I think, you know, a lot of people wonder, or I think they know now. I mean, a lot of this emotional escalation is part of the job, right? I mean, did you see this as a job, or you felt like you were being filmed for your life and this was going to help you write a book or have a hair extension line? I mean, this was a job.
It was a job, 100% a job to, and I understood the assignment, which was to create drama and create storyline and to deliver. And it was almost like a tightrope of, you know, walking that job and surviving. Because if you don't create drama and storyline, you're off. But yet if you create too much storyline and too much drama, you're also off because you could become toxic. So it's like this really weird tightrope that you're walking and doing this show. You definitely want to do it more than one season. But also it would be nice to, you know, get a hair extension line or get a shampoo commercial or whatever. And it's really hard as a housewife to get those things because you're always, you know, wrangled up in stupid drama.
Right. Yeah. And Bethany's been a good example of taking that and then making that her business as opposed to having to be on the show to make money,
right.
You know, and I guess Luann
right.
has her singing show or what, her cabaret.
Right.
That she created out of it. By the way, how's your dad? Your dad was a huge part of your storyline. People will want to know.
Oh, so my dad is great. He's 90. He's in great shape. He's in perfect physical shape and perfect mental shape. He lives alone down the street from me here in
Oh, no
Miami.
way.
And
Was
he's
he dating?
90 and he still is going out with young women.
No way.
Yeah, way.
Oh my God, love him.
Yeah, he's really funny. You know what? He would love you. You have to come over. You have to come for dinner.
I
Or
will.
I'll bring him when I come to Palm Beach. I'll
Please
bring him
do.
to see you. He and I completely disagree on almost everything,
Oh
which
my
is,
God.
going back to the first example, you can, love people and disagree with them.
Right. Well, Blink 49 should be listening because your dad should probably also make a cameo on the show. I think people would love that.
He was like either loved or hated. Like Harry, when my dad walks down the street, people want pictures with him. And
Still?
still, it's crazy. People love my dad. I got a lot of complaints about my dad online. Understandably, he was so crude. I would ask him before every scene. I would be like, please, please, just behave yourself.
Right.
And I swear, I think he almost just was like more raw just to get my goat.
Oh my gosh.
It was awful.
Well,
Anyway,
he
but
did a
he's
great
anyway,
job
he's
because he really owned who he is, though. You know what I mean? Like he was his
yeah.
own character.
Yeah. He is in real life a real character. He's really, really brilliant. He reads like a book a day and he always has. And my dad's dad was graduated from St. John's Law School when he was 18.
Oh, wow.
So there's like this real like lineage of intelligence that's going on my dad's side. It's really amazing. So my dad's really smart and he's also like a wackadoo,
Right.
like he's just like he is sometimes just no filter,
Right. But that's what makes him lovable to most.
but he's like, and he loves Harry. He was here when Harry came over.
Oh,
He
good.
and Harry love each other.
Good, good. Well, all right. So for people that are listening and are now obsessed with you again, if they had forgotten about you a little bit because you haven't been on screen, what's next for you? Like, what are you doing every day? Are you obsessed with Members Only, by the way? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh. Do you watch reality TV at all?
I don't watch reality because it's not fun for me.
Right. Okay.
I like all I see is the behind the scenes and all that.
Right. So we heard you
I
like to
love
cook.
scripted. Sorry.
You love to cook, and then like, are you watching something every night, or you don't have like your favorite shows with Reed?
No, yeah. So Reed and I, we watch a lot of scripted television.
Okay.
We just finished Landman.
Me too.
Yeah, it was good. We just watched Nuremberg. That was really good. I don't know. We're kind of like old. Like we fall asleep at like 9 o'clock and we're up at like 4 or 5. So I
Yeah,
don't know.
well,
But I do
us
like
too. But there's nothing
I
better
know.
than finding a really good show.
Yeah.
Like we
It's
hadn't seen The Diplomat, and by the way, that's been out for years, I guess, but there's like 26 episodes and like 2 seasons, so that'll really take you a long time. But like, I love things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, I did. I love The Diplomat. I want to watch Masters of the Air. Have you seen that one?
No, haven't even
Yeah,
heard
it's
of it.
supposed to be really good. Masters of the Air. Yeah, so I mean, we moved to Miami in 2022 full time. We started during the pandemic and we live on the beach. We just love it. It's like very chill. I love cooking in my kitchen overlooking the ocean. I cook a lot. I have two dogs and I have two kids at home, teenagers. And one of them is going to hear from colleges soon. So I'm only going to have one child in my house soon. That's when I'm going to really come and visit you.
Right. Can't wait.
And I continue to, the best thing that happened from the show for me, which happened more afterwards, was that people come to me a lot to get help with being an amputee, a new amputee.
Yeah. That's got to be amazing.
And I've been an amputee since I'm a little girl. So it's very easy for me to pull people out of the depths of sadness and to let them know they're going to be okay. So I do a lot of that. And the reason that people, know of me to help them is because of the show. So for that, I'm just forever grateful because that's what I like to do. I like to help people.
So is there like a charity or something that people, if they want to know more about that or they're listening and they want to meet you and ask you questions, like where would they find all that information?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, first of all, I'm really open on my Instagram account. I try to answer all the comments. So anybody can, you know, send me DMs or messages. I try to answer. I am answering them. It's not anybody else. There is an organization by a beautiful young woman who I counseled. Her name is Allie Truitt, and the organization is called Stronger Than You Think. And about 2 years ago, she had just graduated from, do you know the story?
No.
It's unbelievable. She had just graduated from Yale. She was on the swim team. And she was on her way to Harvard with some fabulous job in between, on her way to Harvard Business School. She went to one of the islands, I forgot, Turks and Caicos. She went to Turks and Caicos, and she was snorkeling with her friend, who was also had been on the swim team at Yale. So they were strong swimmers. And the boat was far away from them, and a shark was really aggressively attacking them, and it took her leg.
Wow.
I know. And anyway, she came to me through Robert Bergevac,
okay,
from Shark Tank. And
wow.
You know, she's just like this young blonde girl from Connecticut.
Now beautiful. That you're telling me this, I remember seeing it, I think. Was
okay.
It in the paper,
yeah,
or something? Yeah.
So this girl, who's a beautiful family too, this girl, a year later, was participating in the Paralympics and won a medal for swimming. And she also started this organization, of which I'm on the board of, called Stronger Than You Think. And she raises money to help people learn how to swim, because it's an important skill, but also for people who need prosthetic, women, young women who need or women who need prosthetics. Insurance doesn't pay for prosthetics. They pay for the bare bones minimum. And it's so wrong, because people need prosthetics to walk. The insurance companies have no problem paying for breast reconstruction, but, you know, a limb for swimming and a limb for skiing and a limb for walking and a limb for running, nope, they only allow you like one limb. And it doesn't have any cosmetic skin over it. So my prosthetics have this very sophisticated silicone skin on top, which always makes me feel prettier, as opposed to looking down at just like metal. And, you know, that's an out-of-pocket huge expense. And I think that everyone is entitled to that, especially women who care about it, just as much as women are entitled to have reconstructed breasts after cancer. So anyway, Stronger Than You Think raises money and helps buy prosthetic limbs for women right now. And I'm on the board. So Stronger Than You Think, it's on Instagram.
We'll put it on the show, in the show notes,
okay,
to make sure
you.
That
thank
people
you.
Will
thank
know
you.
That.
Any donation is not, you know, not too small. And it's an incredible organization.
Do they have fundraisers at all during the year?
Say that one more time.
Do they have fundraisers or anything during the year?
They do.
All right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We'll put that in the website, everything in the show notes. But it was so good to connect with you. I cannot wait for you to come to Palm Beach and have dinner with your family and
me
and Dan.
Or you'll come here.
And Wyatt. Yeah. And yeah, we can go there. I'm never in Miami. I feel like going to Miami is like going to like Texas. I don't know it. It's scary. There's so much traffic. It's so complicated.
It's true.
So
it's
intimidating.
That's funny. I don't really even like go around Miami all that much. I'm just sort of like living on my little, you know, beach playground, and I go to dinner here and there, but I totally get it.
Yeah. So, and I hope that we will see you on our screens soon, as a friend of, as a cast member, whatever. But I think that,
you know, there is one more thing,
oh,
you know, I am talking with some women. I'm not going to say who they are, but you know what? I was thinking about doing a show, creating just the way Jill created a show. I have some ideas to create a fabulous show.
Amazing. Can you share anything with us, or you want to keep it quiet?
I'm going to keep it quiet for now.
Okay. But I love you at least said that. Well, I wish you the best of luck with that. And I mean, there's room for everyone, right? And you are so smart and fabulous. So right. I think that people want to see you, and I would be shocked that that wouldn't happen for you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so great talking to you.
So great talking to you. So again, what's your Instagram that people can follow you?
It's at Aviva Drescher.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.